Good morning and welcome to Shakedown Shan. Now the host of the show, Shannon Marie Murphy. Good morning, Shan.
Hey, guys. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good. Can't complain.
Good. Yeah, me either. Getting some stuff done up at camp here, redoing some rooms because it's kind of too cold to work outside and do yard work now.
Yep. I mowed the lawn for the last time yesterday. We have a guy coming to do some work on the lawn, so I wanted to get it finished up. But
Before snow falls.
Oh, yeah. Well, we got to clean the gutters today and then we'll be done. But it can turn on a dime. I mean, you never know when it'll start. Just like last week, who would have thought the weather we would have had 70 degrees, you know?
Oh, I know. It's like you don't know whether to keep the ACs in or not. We took ours out when we got that one snowfall. Mm-hmm. And then we had the next week 70 degree weather, and our neighbors downstairs still have their ACs in.
Oh, yeah. I covered mine up. I mean, if you open a window, usually it does enough, you know? But it certainly was wild, I'll tell you.
Yeah, definitely a strange November. We either have like, 50-degree November, or you have like really cold and snowy November. You don't really see 70s.
Really? It's the COVID, though. The COVID's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's doing everything else in the country, so why not, right?
Right. So what do you think about the election? It's been pretty crazy. That it's actually been called yet.
Well, you know, it was called by the media the night of the election, and there were still states
which
that
they
hadn't
really
voted.
Still.
No, but they, I mean, it's just, they shouldn't be doing that because they announced it. My gosh, it was like at 9 o'clock and people from the Midwest to the West Coast were still voting. And, in a way, I don't believe that they should announce anything until all the polls are closed. But somebody would jump in, one of the stations would jump in and give some votes before the West Coast, because that would be midnight that they close. But it was a wild election. About it. Record number of votes. I mean, when the loser gets, or the potential loser, I should say, because I think he'll end up winning, but when he gets 71 million votes and loses by 2.5 million, that says a lot of how many people voted, you know?
Oh, yeah, definitely big voter turnout this time around.
Yeah.
Which we kind of predicted.
Yeah.
But I think it's, the media calling it, I mean, the Electoral College still has to vote. They vote in, I think, December or early January. I can't remember.
December.
But they vote after we do. And ultimately, it's them who decide, and they do not have to vote the way that we vote.
Oh, exactly.
Yes, they are supposed to represent their constituents, mm-hmm. but... there's nothing that says that they have to. So typically they will vote the way that their people would. You see sometimes where they vote differently than popular vote, but
correct.
We really don't know in any election until they vote.
Right. And there's always been some electoral voters that don't vote. They just abstain. And, and we're not talking about an awful lot of them. You know, I think one time there were like four of them that didn't. But the thing that, the thing that bothers me is the media today is controlling everything. I mean, Twitter and Facebook control what you can say on there. I don't know if you remember the year 2000's election between Bush and Gore. Well,
yeah, it was all out in the newspapers, that Gore one, right?
And that election wasn't called until 36 days after Election Day. So what Trump is doing isn't unprecedented. He should be doing it. And they had asked Joe Biden in the first debate that Mike Wallace asked him if he would wait until the election is called by, you know, whoever calls it, or if he would declare victory. And he said he would wait till every legal vote was counted. And now, well, actually, now you don't hear anything from him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they said this is the weirdest election. He didn't campaign that much. He stayed in his basement. She wasn't out in front of the public much, only on, like, Saturday Night Live and the Jimmy Fallon show. And now since the election, you haven't heard a word from them, basically. And I don't know. It's going to be an interesting time.
Definitely. I think we all knew that we weren't going to have a winner on election night just because this election is being held so differently than it has ever before.
Mm-hmm.
And we knew that it was going to go to courts. So, I mean, I don't see where people are shocked that it's going to be brought to court. But, I mean, I was listening to another podcast. They made a really, really good point. That, you know, the left, the last 4 years have been putting all over the media that 2016 had interference. It wasn't a real result and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you get that into the minds of people for 4 years, that elections might not be true, that the results may not be true. Why are they surprised that people are questioning it?
Exactly. I mean, well, it's the same old thing with them. It's okay for us to do stuff, but it's not okay for you. And since they have the media in their pocket, which nobody can say with a straight face that the media is not in the Democrat or liberals' pocket. They are. I mean, you know, and it's just
depending on who you're listening to, they have their biases and
they
bring on certain people to prove certain points and leave other people out.
Oh, sure. Well, I don't know if you know Jonathan Turley. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. He's a constitutional professor at Georgetown. And he's always excuse me, I'm sorry. I'll try and get that out of there. He's always, no matter what station it is, I mean, the guy's so smart. They always want his opinion on the constitutional aspect of things. And he said that Trump is, and he's a Democrat, and he even said during the impeachment hearings they had called him as a witness. And he said, look, I'm a Democrat. I didn't vote for President Trump. But that does not mean anything according to the Constitution. So he said, I can only give you what the Constitution says on issues. And he said that Trump is within his rights because obviously there is some funny business or legal activities going on. Now, he said whether it meets whether the court will allow it to challenge because the number may not change the outcome is another thing. But he said if there is fraud, mm-hmm. he has to go to court. That's just the process. So I mean,
right. And I mean, in a country with this many people, I mean, every single election is going to have some sort of fraud.
Oh, most definitely.
You can't stop that. And so, I mean, just to say that there was no fraud, you have people out here saying there's no fraud, there's no reason to look into this. It's like, no, in any election, there's going to be fraud.
Yep.
You can't deny that.
Well, you know what I always say? The people that protest too much are guilty. I mean, if you keep saying there's no fraud, there's no fraud, there's no fraud, then that means there is fraud. And it may not be to the extent that it's going to change anything, but there's fraud.
Right. And so if they want to bring it to court, they can bring it to court and we'll see what happens.
Right. And they don't have that much time to do this. So it's not like they can go on for months on this. They have a certain amount of time, and I think it's up until the electors vote, the Electoral College votes. But I think the Democrats love the Electoral College now.
Oh, yeah.
Where 4 years ago they didn't.
No. So let's just speak hypothetically that Biden ends up winning, right?
Sure.
So we'll just say he ends up being next president. He's been coming out with some, I'll say interesting, I would rather say scary, but I don't want to be a doomsday person. Some policy stuff. He, well, back in the debates, was already saying that, you know, he wants to make Iran pay for what they've done. Oh. And so I'm only going to assume that means he wants to start a war with Iran.
Right.
So, I mean, if we have him sitting in presidency, I definitely see war with Iran starting very soon. And, you know, nobody wants that. That's not good.
No.
And then he has also added to his platform that he wants to ban the sale of all firearms online.
That's crazy.
So there's also, he somehow already has a pandemic specialist on his team, even though he's not president yet.
Yes, he has.
And I guess the specialist is saying that in order to fix the economy and slow the spread down, we need to shut down for another 4 to 6 weeks, which I don't know about any other economists. I'm not an economist, but I don't think shutting down for another 4 to 6 weeks is going to save the economy.
Oh my gosh, it's going to make, you're going to finish off the small businesses that are just hanging on. Not the small businesses that had to go under. You know, a funny thing about this fella, though, this guy, he was on Obama's team for a while. He said in February, or no, the end of January, he said that Trump should not close the borders down, that he was being a racist. Here's the title card,
right,
again.
Yep.
And that he shouldn't shut the border down. And in February the 24th, he was, along with Pelosi, said that people should go to Chinatown and support the restaurants there because people were racist and wouldn't go to Chinese restaurants because they were prejudiced against the virus. And he said the virus isn't as bad as people say it is. And he was encouraging people to go out. So if that's the case, why would these idiots complain about President Trump closing down the border and doing the things that he did when they said at the time there was nothing wrong with it? And now they're saying that it was President Trump's fault.
Right.
And
this
whole
pandemic has been, the whole pandemic has been absolute chaos. But I mean, New York is already clamping down on restrictions again. So regardless of whether we get a federal shutdown, I see New York shutting down this winter.
Oh, I do too.
I mean, we're already back down to 10 people for private gatherings, bars and restaurants closed by 10.
Yeah.
And
I don't
know
how Cuomo knows that the coronavirus comes out at 10 o'clock at night.
Oh, I know. You're fine at 9:59, but 10
right.
o'clock, you got to be home. Makes no sense.
No, it doesn't. So
say we have Biden, we end up shutting down for at least another 4 to 6 weeks. You know it would be extended. So we get the sale of firearms online that goes away, right? So then you enter a shutdown, which means there's no firearms stores open, right?
Correct.
You have a 4 to 6 week period where people have no access to purchasing firearms, and I don't find that constitutionally right.
I understand.
Regardless on how people may feel about people buying firearms, I mean, when we started shutting down last time, people were rushing out to get firearms as soon as they could. When things started shutting down, the sale of firearms increased rapidly when places started shutting down. And so I just see this all falling in line with each other, that they're trying to stop that for another shutdown. And so we have war with Iran. We have another pending shutdown and a period of no firearm sales. And then on top of that, you also have the issue that, you know, I don't see Biden staying president for long. I mean, I think Kamala is their girl. That is who they want.
Definitely.
And she didn't do good in the primaries, and they found her way into the VP somehow.
Well, I think it was a, I think it was a matter of them telling him what he was going to do. I mean,
oh yes, that's exactly what it was.
Why
they
would
wanted
you
her to do good in the primaries, and she didn't, so they had to push her in with Biden's ticket, and I think their plan is to make her president somehow.
Right. I mean, why would you only pick four black women to choose from? I mean, obviously that was a setup right there. And I think it was a setup because they knew that he wasn't going to be in office for that long, and that one of those women would be the first, the first female president in the in
color,
America,
yes.
Of color. And,
honestly, they could have had that with Tulsi Gabbard.
Oh, definitely.
They could have had a much better choice with her, but she's anti-war, and so they will never pick her.
No. And what they're thinking now is that the president may end up bringing everyone home from Afghanistan by Christmas and start bringing Saudi Arabia, you know, home earlier. So Biden will be picking places to go to war. I mean, he's got a lot of military contracts that he's going to have to award and for payback, and that's what's going to happen.
Right, and I mean, that would be awesome if we can get all these soldiers back. So, I mean, like I say every time, believe it when I see it, because a lot of the times when someone wants to do that, they don't allow them to.
Oh, exactly.
It would be nice if he would put his foot down and just bring them home regardless. That would be, I mean, if he could do that before he goes, if he ends up going, that would be awesome because nobody else does that.
No, you're right.
Everyone else is like, let's bring the troops home, and then they try, and then it gets pushed away, gets pushed around, and then falls to the wayside, and then nothing ever happens because nobody puts their foot down and demands that it be done.
No, I know it, and I, you know, it's plus with the Democrats. You know what's another important thing is the Senate races.
Yes, so that is another interesting thing about this election is that the Democrats did not get the majority that they were looking for.
Not yet. There's two more
to go.
Yet, there's two more to go, and the Republicans have 50. So all they need is one of those Georgia senators to win, and they'll have the majority. But if the Democrats end up getting both of those, it'll be a 50-50 tie. And Harris will break the tie. So we need a check and balance. And, you know, we'll need the Senate to stay Republican if Biden's in the White House, because the Congress is Democrat. And with Biden being a Democrat, we need a check and balance there.
Right.
Hopefully the Senate, hopefully they'll take both of them. You have to get 50.
Either that or stay like pretty even. Either way, I don't think they won as much as they thought they were going to Congress.
Not at all.
They were predicting a lot more.
Yep. And you know, in
that
Georgia,
just goes to show.
What's that?
That just goes to show that, you know, some of these states are questionable.
Oh, definitely. And, you know, in Georgia, that it's a crazy way they have to pick a winner in races. You have to get 50% plus one to win a race. And I forget what his name is, the male senator, Republican that's in office now, got 50%. So he was just one shy of winning that election. So, and the guy he's running against is a complete boob. I mean, this senator was in Washington because they had to vote, okay? And he's going around the state saying, now, where is he? He's not doing anything for Georgia. He should be in Georgia. And he's in is in Washington voting. They'll do anything. I mean, they want those seats so bad. And Schumer was down there, and he said that we need to take Georgia so we can change the country. Well, that's pretty scary right there.
Yeah, definitely. What I find scarier than that is, you know, all over Facebook, social media and everything, all these people are celebrating Kamala Harris and her success of being the first Black woman vice president, and how much of a role model that is for young Black girls. And I just find it absolutely sick because, okay, you're going to lift up this person who is very unethical, unmoral, based on her record as a prosecutor for however many years, just tearing apart families of color, supporting the drug war, which ultimately targets the Black community the most, just statistically speaking. That's who cops go after. They target, Black communities with the drug war. And she propped this up and sent nonviolent people to jail, broke apart families by doing that. And, you know, when you break apart families, especially in a struggling community, more bad things happen. And then these people get into these cycles, and that doesn't help. And she, of all people, should know that.
Well, exactly.
But yet she chose to prop it up and then wouldn't let innocent people out, held that evidence from the court.
Well, and she's immoral, too. I mean, her life is nothing right. pretty. I mean, you know. But
I mean, just on that alone, to say that she is a role model for the Black women community is disgusting. It's like you're going to prop up anybody who is a Black woman, no matter what they did.
Right. Well, I'll tell you what, that's the reason she didn't get many votes in the primaries, because of that record of hers. I mean, she had to get out in December because nobody was voting for her, because all they had to do was show what her record was, and, you know, and that would be it. But I don't know how she's next in line for being president if Biden gets in there. And we all know that the rigors of the president's office, and I've always said this, the president goes in young and he comes out looking like a haggard man.
Right. And it's taxing.
It is very taxing. And here you got a guy that looks like he's got dementia, and he gets right. tired when he makes a 5-minute speech and has to take the next day off. What is it going to be? Yeah. I'll bet within five months.
It's not well.
Nope.
It's not. Yes. And I mean, it sucks that he's dealing with dementia and stuff, but I mean, he's not fit for the job. And we all know that. And so that's why everyone's focusing on Kamala. That's why a lot of these people who are on the left are celebrating Kamala's success. I don't see a lot of people celebrating Biden's success.
Not at all. There's not much to celebrate.
Right. Nobody's really excited for him. Nobody really wanted him. And so nobody really wanted Kamala either, but the fact that she checks off their boxes of person of color and female, then she must be fit for the job.
Well, just on a non.
It's so sick to me that I see everyone doing this.
Well, the country is getting sick, I tell you. Now, just as an example, I mean, you know, it's hard to talk about this stuff and not sound prejudiced. You know what I mean?
Right, and it's not like I'm against her because she's a woman or because she's a woman of color. I'm against her because of her record.
Exactly.
And you say that to people and they're like, oh, well, it was a mistake. That's how we dealt with the war on drugs. And I'm like, a mistake? You're holding these people's lives in prison for years and years and years away from their families is a mistake? That's a pretty big mistake. That's like saying, oh, weapons of mass destruction and starting a war on lies is a mistake. Yeah. That's the same excuse. That's like saying slavery was just a mistake. That's like taking these big deals that ruin lives and just chalking them up to a mistake.
Yep.
Yes, it was a mistake. Now we can look past it. It's like, just swipe it under the rug, you know?
Oh, I know.
I just don't get it. Like, if you said slavery was a mistake, and that we should just look past it because we're at a different point in history now, it's like, are you kidding me? They would have your... They would come after you for saying something like that.
Exactly.
But it's okay for them to say something like that.
Well, you know, the AP, Associated Press, when they write an article, and if they have to mention the word black, they use a capital B. But if they have to use the word whites, they use a small W. And they rationalize it as blacks. The whites can never understand how blacks have been treated through the centuries. So
right, and I get that, but I mean,
yeah, but
it's
that's
not
stupid. I mean,
that time anymore.
But it's, so they had a black, radio host on one of the stations last night, and he was saying that the color of your skin doesn't matter about anything. He said back when there was slavery, people said, "Oh, look at that." They have black skin. They're different. And he said, and that's how they told you apart. And yes, they enslaved these people, but then they were freed back in the late 1800s. He said, so what happens now to the blacks? They're free. He said, white people would try to make themselves better by working, going to school, trying to climb the ladder of working hard, but bettering yourself. And he said blacks didn't do that. They always felt they were entitled. He said, now, when the Asians come over on the West Coast, he said, if they're called yellow, that's an insult to them. And he said, so how do they get past that? He said they become better than everybody. They want to be smarter than everybody, and they work towards that. He said, but then again,
right, they are extremely hard workers.
Exactly. And he said, then again, you have the blacks. And this is a black man talking, okay? He said the blacks want to show the color of their skin and say, you should take care of me because we were slaves at one point in history. And he said, and that's why they don't get anywhere. It's because they don't put their time in and work and try to better themselves. And he said that is their fault. It's no one else's fault. And that made so much sense because we have people of different colors over here. We have black skin people. We have the Chinese, and they're not held back by anything. And
right,
so,
but you also do have to acknowledge the fact that there are things that specifically target the black community, like the war on drugs and the welfare system. And these are things that prop up that kind of lifestyle of entitlement and broken families and secular patterns of just poverty.
But he was also saying, though, Shannon, I wish I could find the speech again, because it was amazing. He said that if you look back in time, there's been four or five different things that changed the black community. And it's only been since the 50s or 60s. He said when the civil rights movement happened, what did they do? The Democrat Party empowered black people with programs, social programs that gave them money for not doing anything. And he said,
and that's a problem
that's
that
right.
keeps them in poverty. And that's what I'm saying. I'm not trying to say that that they're doing so bad because of society. I'm trying to say more of they're doing so bad because government is really just keeping them down. It's not really society that's doing it, which they try to tell you it is. It's more of government keeping them in poverty and in the prisons and stuff like that.
That's right. Well, he also was saying that there were four black colleges in the Midwest. I forget when this was, back in the 50s. And they were small colleges, but, you know, they were around in the same area. There were large colleges of whites, okay? And he said those four black colleges outperformed the white colleges in those three states around them. So he goes, it can be done, but you have to apply yourself.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, we have to, I mean, they have to apply themselves, and the ones that do, do go far. And then for the other ones, they need to wake up and realize that, you know, they're being held down by the system.
Sure they are.
They're not getting help from the system. But it's these people that are lending a hand to them that are pushing them down. So when they get pushed down, they are told to blame society. And then government lends them a hand, even though they broke their own leg. And so now they think government is helping them by giving them a helping hand, when really government is the one that broke their own leg.
That's right. So what did Trump come along and do? Trump came along.
He's trying to make these people realize that.
That's right.
And he
made getting jobs easier for them. More blacks and Hispanics were working. Their unemployment rates were the lowest they've ever been. And he got the Latino votes, all right, and he increased his number of black votes. More blacks voted for the Republican candidate than ever before. And why is that? It's because he empowered them. He gave them the tools to get better, do better for themselves, and they did. There were so many more working. I mean, everybody, the unemployment rate was so low, yet there were still 2,000 to 3,000 jobs that couldn't be filled. I mean, there were more people working, but now that he's in, if Biden gets in, I mean, all that's going to go back. They'll come up with another program to keep these people to stay home.
Right. Yeah, they need them to be dependent. And it's just so sick to me that everyone's propping up Kamala and celebrating her when she's not even willing to address the real issues at hand for the black community, which if I were from the black community, I would want someone to come out and tell me the truth of why I feel like I am just stuck down and why I can't get out of this cycle.
Yep.
And they're not going to do that because they need them to be dependent to keep them in power and do what they want to do. And their agenda has nothing to do with helping anybody. Their agenda has to do with lining their own pockets, starting more wars, keeping the military-industrial complex going. And that's really all they care about. And they disguise it as caring about the black community and the transgender community and all this. And, you know, it's going to take a lot of waking up for people to realize. And you would think with this woke culture that they would be able to wake up, but it's the opposite.
Yeah. But I'll tell you, I think the woke culture is starting to get pushback from the mainstream culture. People are not standing by anymore and letting them get away with this stuff without action. Yesterday they had that women's march for Trump at the Capitol, and as soon as they started to break up, as it started getting dark, well, Antifa and the Black Lives Matter movement came in and they started beating these people up and throwing pepper spraying them in the eyes and hitting them with bats. They sucker punched an older man, and then when he was on the ground, they stomped on his head. And they said the march was peaceful all day long. I mean, they were yelling things back and forth, but basically they were peaceful protests, both sides, until it started getting dark out, and then you get these idiots, Antifa and Black Lives Matter, come in and start doing what they do, and it turned violent. And
And it's just sad to see. It's just sad to see that people don't realize who the real enemy is.
It is. Now, did I tell you that I started a new chapter of BLM?
Belt Loops Matter.
Did I already say that to you? Did I tell you that on Facebook? Belt Loops Matter. But anyway, I mean, it, because nobody takes Black Lives Matter serious anymore. I mean, they've turned themselves into a group that loots, starts fires, does not peacefully protest. And they had a big protest here last Friday night in Saratoga.
I heard that.
Yeah. Terrible. They blocked off Lake Avenue and Broadway. And if the fire station had to get across, or an ambulance had to get across Broadway to go to the hospital, they couldn't. And the police never did a thing as far as getting them out of the street. And they said that there were too many people, and if they started arresting people, they were afraid that it would turn ugly. But they could scream and yell and go up to people that were eating outside at the restaurants. They could go up and they threw stuff at the table when people were outside eating. And it was an illegal protest because they never got permission from the city to peacefully protest, because you have to get permission, or you have to get a permit. And you can only use the sidewalks, and they never bothered doing that. They just showed up and started blocking off streets. And yet,
well, you know how I feel about that. We have a right to protest, so I don't think you should have to get a permit. But either way, permit or no permit, you should keep it peaceful.
Well, I think the only reason why I feel you should get a permit is so that they're aware that you're going to be protesting, and have people ready in case something bad happens. I mean, if you get two groups that are going to protest, you know something's going to happen. And if this, the city doesn't know that this is going to be, can you imagine what can happen in the meantime? I mean, but I think if there, everyone has a right to protest, don't get me wrong, and you can do it peacefully. But I think when you block off access roads, especially a main road like Broadway and Lake Avenue, and they did that so that the police cars couldn't come up. But that's the only reason why I say that you should just put a permit. They can't turn the permit down, but I think it's just a notice to the city that there are going to be people out protesting. And I think everybody should be able to protest. But I think it's when you get in the streets and, you know, things like that, it gets dicey. Because if I was driving down the street and I hit one of those protesters, what would happen? They're not supposed to be in the road, and I hit them, and I'm going to be the one that gets in trouble for it, not them, because they're not supposed to be there. But they'll say and make a point that I use my car as a weapon.
Right.
So, you know. I don't know. I just think we're getting so bad now that it's getting kind of scary, actually. People just can't protest to protest. I mean, you could have two groups protesting against each other, but my gosh, don't carry baseball bats around, you know?
Right. So back to the hypothetical that Biden does keep the election results or whatever and becomes president. Trump is not going to just shut up once he leaves. He's going to pester these people in the establishment, in the media. He's going to be on Twitter until he gets kicked off. I mean, they're already censoring. If you look at his Twitter, he's almost every post is censored.
Oh, sure.
So anyway, if he stays on however long he stays on Twitter for, he's going to be firing tweets all day long, all day long. Look how stupid these people are, blah, 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 blah. He's going to be on interviews. He's going to be on TV. He's going to be on podcasts. He's going to be talking. And the stuff that might come out is going to be pretty interesting.
That's the
only reason I would be like excited to not have him be there, is so he could come out and he's going to just say, you know, F it, I'm just going to say stuff that I know now. And I'm interested to see what he has to say that he hasn't been able to say.
Me too. And I know he's going to be in the public because he's already talking, either starting his own news channel or buying into a news station. Now, see, Fox is becoming more and more liberal. Murdoch's son, who is a liberal, is taking over the business for his father. And if you notice, you can tell that they're getting more and more liberal by the guests that they're having on and the questions that they're asking. And they were one of the first to call the race in some of these states when the ballots weren't even all in, and they called them for Biden. But there's two stations, OAN and Newsmax, and they're pretty conservative stations. And I just subscribed to both of them. They're streaming. Newsmax you can get on TV. OAN, Spectrum doesn't carry it. But their viewership, since Fox started to turn all this, their viewership has gone up by 200%. So people are leaving Fox, and they're going to these two stations. And I think you'll see Trump on either one of these or maybe on both of them. And you're right. He's going to keep his base energized, and he's going to, I think I agree with you, he's going to come out and say a lot of stuff.
Right. I mean, I don't think I'm getting someone else different in there is going to get rid of him the way these people think that it's going to. And I think we're in for some interesting times to come.
I think we are. I think we're going to be in for an interesting 4 years if Biden gets in. Because, as we said before,
regardless if he gets in, if Trump gets in, it's going to be interesting, too.
Oh, it is. Oh, my gosh. I can't imagine what's going to happen then. But, I mean, if Biden does get in, as we said, I give him 6 months in office before he has to be removed. It may even be before then. And then Harris is going to take right over. I mean, she even made too many slips during the campaign that it's the Harris-Biden ticket, if you remember that. She said that many times, so I think it's already planned out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, everyone can see through it. Even the people on the left can see through it.
Well, sure they can. What do you think about the, with the losses that the Congress had, and you had some of the moderate Democrats, congresswomen, come out and slam the progressives like AOC and the Gang of Four or Five. And they said that we lost the seats because these people keep pushing socialism and irresponsible projects that they want to do. And she said they were on a conference call with Pelosi, and she said, we got to stop this and stop using socialism. And then AOC got upset and said they don't know what they're talking about. And it's going to be really interesting. Like you say, no matter who's in there, it's going to be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be, we're going to have a lot to talk about for a while.
Oh, you got it.
There will be no lack of conversation starters.
There won't be. I mean, it's just amazing. Now, how did the Libertarian candidates fare?
She did not do good.
She didn't.
No, I think she's coming in at like 1.2% or something like that, which is a lot less than Gary Johnson. I think he got like 4-something, which is really disappointing, because she is a woman, and you would have think this is the time that maybe more women would have been drawn to her just because she checks off that box for people. But I think I said before, like, she wasn't really that good at spreading the libertarian message. She kind of was pandering to the left a lot.
Yep.
So a lot of libertarians were fed up with her.
You know what it's going to take, I think, for a third party candidate or a third party to really come to the forefront? It's going to take a huge amount of money because they're going to have to educate people in every state. And they have to do that by buying TV ads and, you know, news media ads. And they're going to have to spend a lot of money. They just can't
They need someone inspiring.
Well, they do, but they still need
Ron Paul movement.
Yes. The Ross Perot movement. Now, I don't know if he was a libertarian, but he had the big money to get his message across the U.S., and I think that's what it's going to take for the libertarians. I mean, they're going to need big money behind them to get their message across and have people start thinking about it. And, I mean, Ross Perot made a huge, huge dent in that election that he was in. So it can be done, but like I say, it's going to take an awful lot of money. So they need to they need to find some people with deep pockets. Although Bloomberg spent how much money, and they said that was one of the most that was the worst gambling loss ever.
Yeah. So sometimes it's not always about money.
No, it isn't.
I think they just have to focus on. I mean, the main focus was to get enough percentage of votes to stay on the ballot.
Yep.
To keep ballot access so they don't have to petition next time and waste time and resources on that.
Right.
Unfortunately, I don't think they met that mark.
I wonder what the percent is.
I think it's 5%, but I could be wrong on that.
And that's a lot of people, 5%.
Yeah. I mean, and Gary Johnson got a little over 4%.
Really?
So it's a big loss for getting like 1.2 or whatever it was.
Now, why didn't he run again?
Why didn't I run?
No. Why didn't Gary Johnson run?
I'm sorry. Gary Johnson? I don't know. He kind of bombed a little bit with some interviews, and people give him some stuff about that. But
I think you should
run. Not really sure.
You brought that up.
Me?
I think you should run.
I don't think I really want to rule over all these people.
Yeah.
I don't know if my choices are the best for everybody's lives. So I don't know. I don't think anybody really kind of has the authority to rule over everybody like that.
Yeah. You know what's sad? There's so many people that you would think. I mean, our country's getting more secular and people aren't paying attention. And you can look at that right in Saratoga. We had the charter change on the ballot again this year. And 3 years ago, it was on, and it lost by 10 votes, okay? 10 votes.
Mm-hmm.
So you would think it would either pass this year or be close, you know? But it lost by 1,200 votes, 1,300 votes this time. So you look at that and say, what could have possibly changed in 3 years when it lost by 10 votes? And people just don't pay attention and they don't care. I just don't understand. It really amazed me on how that turned out. I can see if it lost and it lost by 100 votes or whatever, because you would, but the people that voted for it last time didn't vote for it this time. They wanted change 3 years ago, and it's just gotten worse here. And even before the pandemic, I mean, they had a $6 million budget deficit, and now they've got a $7 million budget deficit, and the finance commissioner's not running for reelection next year. But so we went from bad to worse, and when it was bad, we lost by 10 votes. Now it's worse, and we lost by 1,600 votes or 1,500 or whatever. It was over 1,200. So you stop and think to yourself, what are these people thinking about?
They're not.
And I think it's nationally, too. Why do women vote Democrat like that, especially for Joe Biden, when, I mean,
because they have kind, caring, nurturing hearts, and the Democratic Party panders to those types of people,
I guess.
Which, I mean, I have that kind of heart too, but I'm also, I see through the bullshit. So.
Right. And you're a realist too. I know too. That.
Right.
You're a realist.
And I'm realistic too.
And these women aren't, I mean, Trump had more women in key positions, and they don't even see that, you know, and it's getting now. Oh, another thing now. Now, Obama is pressuring Biden into hiring or appointing Susan Rice to the Secretary of State. So he's using leverage for going out in the last week to promote Biden to get Susan Rice appointed as Secretary of State. So that's how it works.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Can't figure it out. I mean, it's...
No.
I don't know. This whole election year was just... You could see it was trouble. President Trump, back in the beginning of summer, said it was going to be terrible if you have blanket mail-in votes. And, I mean, it wasn't the post office. It was... It was just a mess of the states not being set up for that.
Mm-hmm.
So
definitely. You know. Yeah. So we have a lot to look ahead to.
That's right. And we'll know more about that next week. Things are changing every day. So it'll be an interesting show next week too.
Yeah. I think the baby's starting to wake up here, so I think I might cut it.
Oh, I thought, oh, that's the baby? Oh, my gosh, I thought that was Joey. All right. All right.
Well, all right, yeah, so we'll have to see what comes in throughout the week, and then we'll talk about that next time.
Okay, and you take care, and thanks for doing your show today.
Yeah, we'll see you next time.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.